Well, well, good morning. Jesus. Pipes are a little rusty this morning. It's, what is it? It's 7:43 a.m. It is August the 14th, 2026. It is a mostly cloudy morning here in the high plains east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. It is wet. It is humid. We had some really good rain last night, and it was falling when the temperatures were still quite warm. So the atmosphere sucked up a lot of water, and then it cooled, which drives the humidity right through the roof. So, officially it's like 62 degrees. I'm walking in my polo shirt and blue jeans and sweating my ass off. It's wet and not the good kind. But I like the rain. I like the rain. We need the rain. So, yeah, yesterday went pretty much as planned. I had a bunch of stuff to do in the morning. I had almost nothing to do in the afternoon. And almost nothing is exactly what I did. Played a lot of Fallout New Vegas. I remember when I first started Fallout 4. Dying. Like, every time I turned around. And Fallout New Vegas, pretty much the same. The biggest issue, of course, is that I've been playing other games, so my finger training for the keyboard commands is a work in progress, shall we say. I don't know if there's a way to remap the keys or not. But I did have to restart. I don't know if that was before or after yesterday, where I got in a death loop. Played for a few hours and then realized my only save put me back in the death loop. So every time I came back, I got killed. Before I could get away. I've since learned a few tricks to help me survive in the wasteland. I think I mentioned the other day that the sepia vibe was a little bit much. And it is. But it's kind of growing on me. Every once in a while, I fail a quest I didn't know I could have had because I didn't have it. Usually by killing the guy who was supposed to give me the quest. At this point, I've successfully done the prison, although not all of the potential quests in the prison, because I didn't side with the bad guys in any way. which might have been a mistake. I'll have another playthrough to try later, I'm sure. I'm not sure of this game. This is a fun game. This has the same hooks in me that Fallout 4 did. I played Fallout 4 for way too many hours. And really, the bonus on this is that it's not a server game. It's not server-based. I don't feel like I have to log in and check on my game. There's still a little itch in the back of my head because I've got ships and settlements that are in the middle of things. The truth is, it will always be in the middle of things. So when I come back, it'll still be in the middle of things. If I come back next year, it'll still be there. In the middle of things. So it's not like the animals are gonna get starved if I don't log in and feed them. There was one game that did that. I don't remember what it was. I want to say it was Minecraft, but server-based, of course. Satisfactory on the server was a different issue, and that was that things filled up. And so I felt obligated to log in and empty them out and reset them so they could continue working. And of course, wound up with like boxes and boxes of crap that I never did use. It's not like you can sell it. Although you could, sort of, in a way. You could scrap it. And a lot of people apparently just route their overflows into the recycle bin. So whatever they're making, once their chests are full, they're just making it to recycle it. There's actually a rationale for it, and I agree with the rationale. I just couldn't make myself do it. But yeah, Fallout New Vegas has bumped No Man's Sky off my desk. Still playing on GOG. That's working out pretty well. Getting the game and all of its DLCs for like $8 was just too much to pass up. Couldn't give it up. Roger, 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 Roger. I need to get back to Roger. I have thoughts. Thinky thoughts. The worst kind. Which way are you going? Come on, buddy, come on. There was a piece. I'm on Indie Author Social by now on Mastodon, and it's kind of a relief. I only have one account that I pay attention to. I used to have the two. The old Zerk US is just sitting there. I don't participate there anymore. But every once in a while, I'll go look and see if there's anybody who's looking for me. However, Indie Author Social. Stefan has a bot that goes across various publications in theoretical interest to people engaged in putting words on page. Which only means me periodically, but that's beside the point. It's like he'll pull in the RSS feed from Writer's Digest. I always love the pieces. Six ways to do XYZ by the guest writer, oh, who just happens to have a new book release coming, and this is how they manage that new book using these techniques. Always. Always. I understand the impetus. But it really detracts from the message. The other one was another AI scare piece about dueling studies. Where a bunch of readers were asked to rate some short fiction, or some short works. I don't remember. I don't know if they specified fiction, but some short works. And half were AI and half were not. And the AI rated slightly better in terms of ranking. I like those just a little bit more. And it's like, oh dear, the sky is falling. Readers prefer AI over human-generated content. I'll get back to that in a minute because that's problematic. We'll start there. But the other one was 600 people were given some short pieces, and their task was AI or not. The basic hot or not for fiction, I guess. Well, I don't know. Short works. I didn't say fiction. And they were better at picking AI. Marginally. I'd really like to see the numbers to see if it was like a big amount or, you know, just four people did, you know, boosted the ranking out of the space. There were 600 people in the first, 1,200 people in the second, 60, Mark Post, thank you. There were 1,200 people in the first study asking them to rank the pieces, the writing, and 600 in the second, asking them AI or not. So the results were, well, people can sort of, it looks like humans can tell when it's AI. But they like it better, was sort of the message. And it's like, that's sort of like saying, all right, we're going to take 50 people and shove them into a pool and see how they like it. Depending on the day and the people and the pool and how much warning they had, the results could differ drastically across the pool of people bobbing along. But there was no information about the quality of reader. Are these people who read a book a year. They only read a book if it's assigned in class, because this was a university doing this study. Good morning, and good morning to you. The lady with the skirt. She has adorable smile lines. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, I haven't seen him before. He looks like he's barely moving. Anyway, so there was no qualification of the readers. There was no, they were, if I had to guess, knowing how universities run it, they put up a notice, we're paying $5 if you take part in the study, or you get extra credit if you take part in the study, or something. That was the standard come on in the psych department at UNC. I should say UNCO, since I don't want to confuse it with University of North Carolina. So my question is, if they weren't particularly discerning in terms of judging the quality of the reading, why wouldn't they rate the less challenging higher? The AI slop, the smoothed version. There was no human intervention to introduce quirks of language, to introduce oddities of punctuation or sentence construction or flow. It was all the average, the predictable, based on the AI prompts. So why wouldn't the average score higher than something that a human did that another human might take umbrage over, and rank it, not a lot lower, but lower? That's not bad news to me. That's good news. I said before, I probably have to say it like another 100 times before I die, because I will have forgotten where I've said it. But an AI can write a story that looks like one I wrote. It cannot write a story that looks like the one I will write. And the difference between the books that I've written and the books that I will write matters. It matters to me, and I think it matters to readers. I think, you know, if I wrote the same Ishmael Wong story many more times, you know, it's one of the reasons I did not go with Ishmael Wong is second mate. Ishmael Wong is first mate. Well, I did do that, but only for a little bit. Because those would just be the same stories. There's no substantive difference between those ranks other than some minor changes in job duties. The environment around him did not change. Therefore, he did not have to change. It was one of the problems with writing the three Seeker's Tales. Because the Seeker's Tales owe more to Ravenwood in terms of a journey from book one to book three. And Ravenwood was definitely a journey. Good morning. The Wizard's Butler is suffering from that at the moment because it hasn't been, at least obvious to me or anyone else, a journey. The surroundings, the challenges that Roger faces in each book aren't substantively different, although having a supernatural entity eating the house is probably a little... Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry. It put him in a particular bind, hence the need for the cat. However, be that as it may, a weak device is still a device. So try to make it up in the next book. But that's my challenge. It's like, is this a journey? And I think it is. How close to the end of that journey are we? I don't know. I want to say this book, this next book, The Wizard's Next, the end of a particular trilogy, because there's threads and pieces and people and problems that I want to move into, but feel constrained because of, to a certain extent, Roger. So it's an interesting conundrum, one I'm trying to come to grips with, not explicitly in my head, but to come to some sort of understanding of what the hell is going on in this story, because I have no idea half the time. I threw away 2,000 words, 3,000 words the other day, because it was just, yeah, it was fun to write, but it was just not, it's just not what should be in that story. It shouldn't be, didn't belong in that book. Jesus, kids waiting for the bus? How late is the bus? How late am I? 8 o'clock? Well, it's not too late. Pace. Moving along. I'm still soggy as hell. I can't wait to get in, get a cup of coffee, get set down. I have to make a run out this morning. I gotta go to the pharmacy. I did the grocery store yesterday, but it was the wrong grocery store, so I have to go back to the other store and get the pharmacy done. I probably should take the opportunity to do the car inspection too. It needs to be done by the end of September. So it's not like I just got the notice yesterday. It's not like it's burning a hole. Anyway, look where I am. I am at the back gate. The point where I say tomorrow is a 3-day. And the day after isn't. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.